You do quite a few really nice guitar solos on the record.
Thank you.
You know, there's a song called Life Off.
Yes.
Which is actually a bonus track.
Yes.
That's a really nice solo. Who do you draw inspiration from? Who do you listen to? Who floats your boat guitar-wise?
I grew up just being the biggest Jimi Hendrix fan in the world. I mean, I love Jimi Hendrix. Anyone who says it doesn't is probably lying, because he's amazing. And, you know, I listen to a lot of Cream. But I mean, guitar-wise, obviously, I was always playing with my dad, and he, you know, we were never sort of from the noodly school of guitar playing. It was more, you know, just playing parts and melodies, and that's kind of how I grew up playing. But then I became obsessed with, you know, Cream and Zeppelin and Hendrix, and, you know, that really, I think it was mostly Cream and Zeppelin and Hendrix that really did it for me guitar-wise. And also just blues guitar generally from the beginning, you know, everyone from J.B. Lenoir, Robert Johnson, you know, Howlin' Wolf, you know, I really listened to a lot of blues. You know, that's where I love, that's the sort of scope that I love about guitar, is sort of blues guitar.
In life, there's that 6 degrees of separation thing, but you have like a 1 or 2 degrees of separation. You know, most people can talk about Hendrix, but your dad knew him. Would you talk about Hendrix with your father, and would he tell you these stories?
I mean, no, it was more just like, you know, okay, you'd always hear funny things, you know, about the house. But my dad kind of just showed me chords and let me do my own thing and let me find out for myself, you know, and if there's anything I ever wanted to know, he'd usually tell me. But I kind of was just in my room for years listening to Hendrix. It wasn't really like a thing that I discussed.
Achieving a guitar sound, achieving a unique guitar sound, is obviously one of the most important things a guitar player can do. And I feel you do this on this album. You have some great distorted guitar sounds. What kind of gear are you using?
I spent a lot of time by myself with a lot of different gear. I mean, we could be here all night discussing the stuff I've been using. A lot of great old amps, and, you know, a lot of I played a lot of Silvertone and Fender stuff on the record. You know, I tried to mix it up as much as I could. Like, between the sounds of different songs, I was trying to constantly work out, you know, what... Try not to sound too samey on my own record, you know?
Right.
Try and use the equipment that I have. You know, I used a lot of my dad's stuff, and I feel like that is such a blessing to be able to, but it's also, like, for me, it's my responsibility to use that stuff, otherwise it never gets used, you know?
Well, you gotta tell me which ones now, man. I mean...
Oh, okay, man. Well, the side solo that you liked, that was John Doe, was actually played on the Rocky Strat, which was All You Need Is Love. So, you know, it's funny, because my friend John, who's the keyboard player now, he came into the studio and he hit a tom who was off an old kit, and he said to me, he was like, oh my God, that's how you get that sound. It's not like anything that they put on the sound. It's not the production. It's not anything. It's just the fucking tom itself, you know, like, and so a lot of the stuff, you know, is just the guitar. It sounds great. Or the guitar through a certain thing that I know works sounds great. I try and get all those different sounds in there, you know?
Any other,
I use the great Fender 6, belonged to my dad, on So Vain, all that really heavy kind of shreddy stuff. Me and a guy, Josh Lopez, who used to play with us, and he pointed it out. He was like, why don't we get that Fender 6 in there? That Fender 6 is great. And that sort of baritone kind of sound.
Do you feel any kind of weight of legacy when you do pick up some of these guitars?
You know? I try not to, you know, and I try not to think about it, and it doesn't, you know, it's not important anymore. I'd obviously rather have my dad than any of these guitars. So it's just one of those things. It's like, now they're here, and if they don't get played, they're not going to get played. So you can't be too precious over things. You've got to look after them, but you can't be too precious. It's not like Spinal Tap. Don't even look at it. Don't touch it, you know. Although I have still got the tags on my Fender Twin Reverb amp.
Oh, boy. Wow. I understand that there's a Rickenbacker that you use on the song called Shelter that was actually...
Yeah, that was a Tom Petty Rickenbacker. That's a really great guitar. It was the Heartbreakers, his custom model. Really, really nice guitar. I put some flat wound strings on it.
Do you get any advice from some of your dad's friends, the Tom Petty's, the Bob Dylan's, you know?
I mean, without wanting to go into it too much and make this all about sort of my dad... you know, his friends were my friends too, and I grew up around a lot of them. And, you know, they're like my uncles. They're still here for me, and they're lovely people. And they check on me, and, you know, occasionally we all have an extremely hysterical laugh together. And, you know, it's funny because I grew up with sort of same sense of humor as them, just being an only child and being around my dad. So it's more just like extended family, really. It's like going to see your uncle.
What does your mother think of you now being in a rock band?
I think she was very scared to start off with. I think she's quite relieved that it's all working out okay. She's very protective.
Now, I know you're also very, very involved in computers, in designing computer games.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, you have been very involved in the Beatles rock band game.
I have, and that's been extremely fun. That's a very fun project. You know, I've always been a gamer, and I love Rock Band. I loved Guitar Hero, and I became friends with the guys from Harmonix, a guy called Alex Rigopoulos, who is one of the CEOs and who just sort of designed the game. When the idea came up between us, just in jest, it was such a good idea that we couldn't really, even though we didn't think it was going to happen, we couldn't really not ask the question. And, you know, there's so many new ways of delivering your music to the people, you know, digitally, that video games proved to be a really great outlet for musicians. I mean, I have songs from the new number 2 in Rock Band right now. It's a great way of getting your music out there. So it seems like a natural thing to do. And, you know, we look forward to launching it all in 2 weeks' time at E3. There's going to be we're going to be doing a big demo of it.
Oh, boy.
I think, you know, there's going to be a Microsoft demo. In a couple of weeks' time, I should be able to tell you more, but at the moment I'm kind of contractually obliged not to.
Well, I hope to hear more. What was the genesis of you getting involved in the Beatles Rock Band game? At what point did you come in? And
well, I mean, I kind of worked with Alex just on the presentation of the initial idea, you know, right from the beginning. I was trying to get the company enthusiastic about it and just be the link between Harmonix and Apple and try and get everyone's head into gear so that they could see how great this opportunity was. And so I kind of was there, you know, right from the start, and it evolved and became, you know, better than I ever could have imagined. So, you know, I now test the game, and they send me a build every, you know, a couple builds every week, and I go to Boston and work out with the, you know, the guys in Harmonix. And, you know, they're just the easiest, nicest company that I've ever worked with. They're just such lovely people, and they're all real, you know, crazy, creative. A lot of them went to RISD, actually, which is funny because I was at Brown, which is right next to
sure.
RISD. And so it kind of, from my design background, we kind of fit. I started working for Harmonix, and, you know, it just kind of, the last 2 years, we've been sort of slowly chugging along, and now there's 300 people working all day long on it. And it's coming out in September.
Are you involved in making sure that some of the images and aspects are...
I mean, I'm involved in all aspects of creatively making this as historically accurate as possible. You know, for the music lovers and for the gamers, I've just tried to, you know, my job is just sort of basically, let's make it as good as we possibly can and be as accurate as we can. You know, there's still a lot of mistakes in there, but, you know, you try getting licenses from all the different companies of all the instruments the Beatles ever used. that's just not going to happen quickly, you know. You know, it's all worked out very well, and everyone involved has been great.
Is it a headache at times, though? I mean, sometimes just like, you know, why can't we get this one part right? Why can't we get this one aspect correct?
You know, anything that is good takes a lot of time and at some point becomes a headache. But it's, everyone in the game, I mean, I always used to call the harmonics guys, are you guys going crazy yet? You know, and they said, no. Basically, every time they get so stressed out, we all just go and play the game. And it's so fun. It's so much fun that everyone's just blissed out afterwards, and then we just go back to working.
After this game is launched, what other kind of video games or computer games might you be involved in?
I hope to be involved in Rock Band 3. That's probably next year sometime, you know, and I plan to try and work with Harmonix. I mean, this was such a big project that I haven't even really had time to come up for a breath of air. You know, I've been very underwater in terms of this whole thing. When we're done with it, I'm going to probably talk with Harmonix, and, you know, I want to carry on making games. I love making games.
So you're going to do your first real tour this summer?
Hopefully, yes. It should be, I mean, this is going to be a proper big tour, so yeah.
What would you say you're most looking forward to, and what are you dreading?
I love playing outside. I had a really great time at Coachella because the amps sound great out in the open, you know? You can turn up a bit louder and you can get some good sounds. And that's something I really enjoy playing, is being out in the hot air and, you know, having a really great crowd. Sorry, that was my phone getting a text. A really great crowd, you know, just playing to a crowd that's really appreciating being out on a nice day listening to some psychedelic music.
And what might you be dreading about going on tour? I mean, are you prepared for just the constant travel and hotel rooms?
I kind of travel a lot anyway, just from my nature of my work, so I'm kind of always between LA, London, and New York, so I'm kind of used to it. Okay. I look forward to it, you know, it's going to be fine.
Well, Danny, thank you very much. You know,
thank you very much.
I think your record is wonderful. It is a really splendid release.
I'm glad you like the record. Thanks for being so sweet.
I really love it, and it's been a pleasure. This is Joe Basso with Music Radar, and I've been speaking with Danny Harrison. Danny,
nice one.
Thank you very much.